We are looking back on 2022 with some of our regular voices, regular analysts. One of those is, of course, here and now resident chef, Kathy Gunst, and she's back to reflect on the best bites she had this past year. Kathy, hi again.
Hello, Scott.
So, Kathy, your best bites of the year are like many of the rest of ours. They're from homes and kitchen tables to a large degree, yeah, instead of restaurants?
Yeah, it was really interesting. I was looking back through my photos. I'm one of those food people that takes a lot of pictures of the food they eat. And so many of the photos were taken at my kitchen table or the table or dining room of friends and family, as opposed to past years where they were flooded with different restaurants. And it really caused me to reflect, like, what is that all about? And the most obvious answer is COVID. It's had a lasting impact on our dining choices. Mm-hmm. It's so important, let me just clarify, to be supporting restaurants after the devastation of COVID. I believe in chefs and in restaurants and everything they're doing. But I had to learn how to cook a lot of new things during COVID when we really weren't able to go out. And I found that it was deeply satisfying.
Yeah, no, I absolutely. I mean, it is truly a crisis, and it's an opportunity.
I think that's a nice way of putting it, that it's an opportunity. And it's an opportunity to do both, to support the small mom and pop restaurants, but also to stay home and improve your culinary skills.
Yeah. So this past year, I understand you and your family made marmalade. Tell us the story.
It's really funny because I have never been a marmalade fan. I was visiting my daughter in Los Angeles, and Southern California in the winter is a citrus fruit lover's dream come true.
Yeah.
And we had oranges and grapefruits and tangerines and kumquats and Meyer lemons. And she came over with her boyfriend and his mother, and we all started peeling off the zest and chopping the fruit. And about 2 hours later, we had this thick, bitter, sweet, gooey, amazing marmalade. Mm. So I created a somewhat easier recipe for listeners, and you can use any citrus fruit that you have on hand. It could just be oranges. It could just be lemons. But when you mix it up, you get this rich, textured, really deeply flavored marmalade. It was such a fun day. I guess that harks back to what we were just talking about.
Yeah.
It's these at-home cooking activity experiences. When I looked back over the year, that really struck me as being one of the finest days.
Mm-hmm. You also went outside foraging for mushrooms in Maine. What did you find?
Yes. So there is a young woman that lives near me in Maine named Jenna Roselle. She is very skilled and just very knowledgeable about edible foods, medicinal foods, fruits, nuts, stems. And she came over one afternoon last fall, and we foraged through the woods in and around where I live, and we found all kinds of things that I would never have noticed on my own. It was kind of like that moment in The Wizard of Oz when everything goes from black and white to color. It was like, oh my goodness, I have been walking past that tree and that bush and that shrub every day for 20 years, and I never saw it. But the biggest gift of all was she found a 20-pound, yes, I said 20,
really?
Maitake mushroom, which is also called hen of the woods. It was massive, growing at the base of this magnificent old oak tree. And she took out her pocket knife and carefully carved it away from the tree. We hiked back to my kitchen and we cranked the oven up. We cut some of the mushroom into small pieces, drizzled it with olive oil, garlic, salt, and pepper, and just ate it out of the skillet with ripped off pieces of crispy bread. And that was just a magnificent food moment, a hike that led to a mushroom that led to a gorgeous roasted mushroom dish.
Yeah. Well, a hike, or in our case, a bike ride, can also lead to a good farmer's market. And to me, you know, these are always clues to the places we go to? Like, what's in the market is part of the story. Where did you go in 2022?
That's a really nice way to put it. It is part of the story. Wherever I travel, I go to a farmer's market because, first of all, they're beautiful. Yeah. Second of all, you can meet farmers, but it lets you know what the local specialties are and, more specifically, what is seasonal, whether it's being out on the West Coast and finding artichokes and buttery avocados and plump Meyer lemons, or, you know, near my home, winter squash and pumpkins and beautiful tomatoes. But it is a way to connect with farmers and farming and support them, you know, rather than finding plastic wrapped week or month old vegetables in your grocery store.
Yeah. You did go to a few restaurants, Kathy, this year, I gather.
I did go to a bunch of restaurants. And generally, I tend to like the smaller, less expensive places. Maybe I'm looking for a dumpling or a Korean pancake. But I did have my anniversary. We celebrated a monumental anniversary this year. Thank you. And we went to Gage and Tolner. It's an iconic restaurant in Brooklyn. Been there since 1829. I was born and lived in New York City for many years. Had never been. And it was stunning. From the original antique gas lanterns to the wait staff. And then, of course, the food. Beautifully aged steak. And then there was a soft belly clam dish broiled in miso butter, topped with crunchy breadcrumbs. Amazing. But executive pastry chef Carolyn Schiff made a coconut layer cake with a lime curd and a pink peppercorn cashew brittle. It was, I didn't even know how to describe it, but light and fluffy and airy. Doesn't begin to do it justice.
Yeah.
Also in New York, there was a small Japanese restaurant that specializes in udon, noodle bowls, and they had an appetizer of deep-fried eggplant topped with a spicy miso pork and a raw quail egg on top. That was unbelievable.
Oh, wow.
Hungry yet?
I was before I got on the line with you. As we turn the page into 2023, what lies ahead as far as what's on your list that you want to try, or predictions for, you know, the food we're going to be seeing, the food we're going to be talking about?
One of the things I noticed this year that I think we'll see even more of next year is non-alcoholic beer and more interesting mocktails from mixologists, bartenders, and even going to people's homes. COVID was really rough on many people, and alcoholism was a very serious problem. Yeah. And in some ways, I think this is a reaction to that. It's also part of the general trend to try to be healthier, but non-alcoholic beers from the huge companies down to small craft breweries is something I'm seeing everywhere, and really interesting concoctions of non-alcoholic mocktails. And this is really great, whether you drink or not, to be able to have that option. I also see more focus on the environment and plant-based food, a lot of vegetable-forward eating, I think we'll see. A lot more fermentation. You're going to see a lot more pickled, kimchi'd, kombucha'd, pickled-flavored potato chips. This is everywhere. I'm also seeing a lot of cross-cultural cuisine, Korean-Jewish, Puerto Rican-Southern, really fun mix-ups depending on where chefs grew up and where they're living now. And hopefully it will be a year of good eating and health for everybody.
We've been talking with Here and Now resident chef Kathy Gunst about her favorite bites of the year. You can go to our website, hereandnow.org, for more, specifically for the recipe for her winter citrus marmalade. Speaking of good health, Kathy, we wish that to you and your family, and have a great holiday.
Thank you. Same to you. Happy New Year.